Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this second to last Sunday of the church year is our gospel reading, St. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 31. I'm going to focus on verse 30. Jesus tells us, "Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place." This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't believe it. Do you? Now, how can we believe such words? What do I mean? The apostles' generation has passed away. Jesus did not come back for the church 30 years after he had said this. If he did, we are all in big trouble, and the church for the past 1970 years or so has been a man-made lie. If the elect are gone, who then are we? The elect are those Jesus calls by the gospel to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. Saints, the church of God, who we thought we were, you and me. So what does Jesus mean here then? These words are easy to understand. They are. If we listen closely to his word. It seems that many people, the likes of Dan Brown and of the Da Vinci Code sort, or anyone who wants to find a reason to doubt the word of God, won't take the time, though, to listen, to understand. I am preaching on the last things, the eschaton, the end, or whatever you wish to call it, as we are living in it. As we approach the celebration of the first advent, we are reminded of the promise of Jesus' second advent, our hope in glory when we all get to go home. The end began when Jesus ascended. And this, I have said before, this could be just the beginning. I don't know what God had in mind. Jesus didn't tell us. But as we are in it all the same, we think it has to be the end. I mean, look around, right? You've seen the news. But even so, and truly, the end could come tomorrow. Today, in just a few minutes, in fact. So as Jesus tells us in Luke 21, verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near." Yet there are many who tempt us to doubt. It has been 2,000 years after all. People point to problems with how the end is described in Scripture, as well as other things in the Bible. But they tell us not to trust everything we read there. They claim that texts like this one are add-ins by the same sort that always make predictions of the end. I have mentioned them before. They're called Adventists for a reason. How many have problems with words in the Bible like these, such as generation? They do nag at us, don't they? And the devil is sure to be there telling us that there must be errors then, mistakes in the Bible, so how can you trust it? The devil also has his own ivory towers full of the so-called scholars, the experts, telling the world that there is a huge list of mistakes in the Bible. They tell us that they have good scientific reasons why this is so. They think the Bible has quite a few later add-ons, add-ins, adjustments, changes, words that were given to Jesus to say long after he was gone, words based rather on cultural norms of the times, fashions of later times that actually, you know, than actually the things that Jesus actually said. Don't believe them. Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus says. But then they point to words like generation, and they say, come on. Jesus could not have said that then, but why confuse us if he did? I mean, why not say it differently? This makes it hard for us, for his children, for... Why did he speak like that? I mean, they won't, even if we believe it, they won't listen. They refuse to hear. They don't want to believe it. And that just makes it harder. And Jesus, though, answers this very thing, doesn't he? When the disciples asked him, he actually does answer it. He says, because they asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you do, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus uses this way of speaking about the last things in the same way. As do his apostles, whom he gave the rest of the New Testament scripture to write down for us. For those looking for something to disbelieve, they come to generation and point, they jump up and down maybe, but they insist, don't they, because they have spent a lot of energy dulling their senses to the truth. But for us, an explanation is simple. Simply, then, generation is speaking about the generation of the church, the time of grace. The Old Testament uses this same kind of term to separate the book of Genesis into 10 sections. It's called the Toldoth in Hebrew. It speaks of the generation of Adam, of Noah, etc. Many generations between these sections are even named, and they can be hundreds of years. So we can call them times or epochs or ages. Generation simply means the time of Noah or Adam. Or in this case, in our gospel text, the time of the church. Her children, you and I, and all those who have believed in between or that will in the future. Until the last day. Until that time is done. Until judgment day. So why are we tempted to disbelieve? Why do people go looking for mistakes in the Bible? Why be dulled, numb, or look with glazed over eyes? So that we and they are not accountable. Even if they still believe in God, they can use this sort of thing to find a supposed loophole. When St. Paul was talking about the role of women in the church, to them, he was being cultural. So then you see they can discount those words as mere opinion and not the word of God. Next step, women pastors. When Jesus was talking about divorce or adultery, many claim that all of it was added by the Prudish church later on, by men. Or it was because of some Jewish hang-ups of some of the disciples writing the gospel sometime. If not really Jesus' words, then no one must adhere to them, right? They're not binding. So when the Bible talks about homosexuality, they can claim it was also added later. Not because God hates it, because certain people were just homophobic. And now, too, we can have same-sex marriages approved, blessed, and conducted in many church bodies today. Some even have homosexual pastors and bishops. You see, our sinful flesh is just looking for another way out. Fig leaves in the garden instead of blood shed for us. Fig leaves we make, our flesh tells us, is better than charity and grace. But fig leaves we make never do manage to cover all, to ever rid us of our shame, does it? Do they? When we are tempted to doubt, instead remember the nails for us, the blood shed for us, the water poured over us in His name. Trust Him. All this, all these end run arounds, plus all else, all the other things, these will pass away. All the fig leaves, no matter how well made and sophisticated they may be, no matter the technology we may come up with, they will not last. Jesus tells us, verse 24 and 25, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened. People say that, don't they? You can count on it like the sun rising in the morning. In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its light. Well, it can't if the sun doesn't rise. The stars will be falling from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Will gravity lose its gravitational pull? I don't know. We don't get much more of information on what Jesus is talking about. But we are to trust these words, His words. They are the only truth, the only certainty. You and I are the children of this truth, of this covering in His blood, of the water with His word that truly does cover our shame, our guilt, our sin. It's the only thing that can. All those contrivances, those attempts at finding loopholes and wiggle room will be very weak when the stars start to fall, when we see the sun go dark. Those that have put on just fig leaves will be searching futilely for a better covering. Once God comes calling, it says they'll want the mountains to be pulled on top of them to avoid His gaze, to hide them. The Bible says that the universe will be rolled up like an old garment. I always imagine how you roll a sleeping bag. You know, you fold it three ways and then but it will come up this way instead. Be put away, made into scrap. Nothing we have made in it will last. All that is done without Christ will be no more. Burnt in a fire, reduced to all its base elements, ready to be reforged. Yet the covering of Jesus, His word in water, His blood in wine, and His body in bread, that is what will remain. This is His word enfleshed in us, as it is He, Jesus Himself. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. He is the Word. The church, you who are covered, this generation will remain. His very body. The church was made of things not of this earth alone. but things that are combined with his word. By his word, the universe was made. By his word incarnate, the world was saved. By his word, a new heavens and a new earth will be made for those recreated anew by that same word. You will remain with him to see this new heavens and new earth made. This is his word of promise to you. You, the elect, called by his word, forgiven and covered by his word, this same word. We will not be moved. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.